Let's open our Bibles to Mark chapter 11. We're going to be talking about faith, hope, and love. In Mark 11:22, the wonderful classic teaching of the Master on the God kind of faith. In the 22nd verse, well, I'll tell you what let's do. Verse 12, on the morrow when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not. You see the word yet is in italics? Somebody added that. The time of figs was not. Somebody said, well, don't you think Jesus would have known that? Well, smart aleck, would you like to hear some? In that part of the world, a fig tree with leaves could have figs still on it. It was not the prime time, but it doesn't say whether the time of figs had just passed or was just ahead.
All right.
He expected there to be figs on that tree.
Amen.
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 So, don't argue with that or with yourself about it anymore. Thank you, Lord. Now, Jesus answered and said to the tree, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. So it said this tree is afar off, is far enough away that you couldn't see whether or not it had figs on it. So we can tell from that, he wasn't all that quiet about it. Amen. He spoke 9 words to it and left. That tree is doomed. Amen. So now skip down to the 20th verse. In the morning, as they passed by, so 24 hours have gone by since he cursed that tree, and saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Very, very important statement. Faith is of the heart, of the inner man. Faith is not of the mind. Faith is not of the flesh. It affects the mind and certainly can affect the flesh. But it is a spiritual force. And it is from the inside out, not the outside in.
Come on.
When they walked by there about 12 hours, said in the evening they went back to Bethany. You know everybody looked at that tree, man, you know. And if anything, if they could have seen anything, Peter would have mentioned it.
Right.
Amen. Some of them might even just, you know, walked over there and just take a look. Nothing. Why? It was working on the roots.
Right. All right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Go to the root of the problem.
That's right.
Not the leaves.
That's right.
Amen. We were raised in a world that's outside in. Think about it. Whatever you and I needed in our environment, I went back to West Texas right there. In our environment. Can you believe I used to talk like that? Well, it was kind of country. In our environment, everything we needed, somebody else had it, and we had to get it. I mean, you went to work. They had the job. We needed it.
Right.
They had the money. We needed it.
Amen.
The government had it, or somebody had it, and or your mama had it, or somebody, and you had to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And it is your choice whether you worked for it or stole it.
Amen.
Or borrowed it.
All right, all right.
But it was all out there coming towards us.
Right.
But then you got born again.
Amen.
Right. You became a new creature.
Yeah.
Old things passed away and all things became new. And all things were of God. Your inner man, you, the real you. The you that will live after your body is gone. Amen. And suddenly, now, we became inside out people. And we've had to learn how to live that way. Because everything you could possibly need in life to fulfill everything that God has called you to do is on the inside of you right now, darling. Because the kingdom is inside you. This connection inside here with the unseen world. We've been raised up together and made to sit together with Him in heavenly places. We're more aware of this environment, but He is aware of us seated with Him.
Hallelujah.
And whatever you need, God has provided the way to receive it and bring it from the unseen world into manifestation in the natural world. And we're going to find out something about that tonight. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, I came here happy tonight because I've already preached this thing to me two or three times a day. And I'll tell you what, it took off in a direction I wasn't expecting it to, but I'm gonna follow the Spirit of God. Is that all right with you?
Yes.
Now notice, Jesus answering, when they said, look at that tree, He answered this way, have faith in God. Now your King James cross-reference will say, have the faith of God. That's very, very correct. And another very accurate rendering, which I like, is have the God kind of faith.
Amen.
So Jesus, God manifested in the flesh, used His faith, and we're about to find out how the God kind of faith works. It's the same way God created the universe. And it's the same substance with which He created it. Faith just happens to be the name of the creative spiritual force of God. That's the name of it. It is a spiritual force. Spiritual forces are the most powerful forces in the universe. Far more powerful than mental or intellectual forces, and certainly more powerful than physical forces. I mean, a spirit with spiritual forces created all material things. Hallelujah. And spiritual laws brought physical laws into existence. Does that thrill you? Oh, it does me. The God kind of faith. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now that is the God kind of faith. The God kind of faith believes in his heart that what he says will come to pass. So he believes it and he says it and he expects it to come to pass. That's what God did. Amen. So, therefore I say unto you, Jesus said, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them, and when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses.
Amen.
Now then, notice here in that 24th verse, believe that you receive them, you shall have them. Notice the word them is in italics. That means it was added to that by the translator. So what did Jesus say? Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever thing you desire. God has provided a way for our every desire to be met. But it has to be done by faith. And faith worketh by love. So when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. That'll straighten a lot of your desires out right there. Amen. Amen. Well, listen to what he said. Whatsoever thing you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive, and you will have. Believe that you receive, and you will have. Believe that you receive, and you will have. Now, I was meditating that. We're going to talk about meditating these scriptures here in just a few minutes. But I was meditating that. And when you meditate a scripture, the Hebrew word for meditate is mutter. You kind of mutter to yourself. You're talking to yourself. Brother Coleman, you mean you talk to yourself? Oh, yeah. Every once in a while, you need to talk to somebody that's got some good sense. You know? And so, and most of the time, I agree with myself. Not all the time. And I just kept looking at that. And I just kept reading it over and over and over and over and over. Therefore, I say, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, I say. Well, look at that. He just used Mark 11:23. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, I say to you. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
He just did it.
That's right.
Come on.
Whatsoever thing you desire, when you pray, believe you receive,
yes,
and you will have.
Amen.
Now, what is it about that you don't understand? That is so simple. You have to have help to misunderstand that. Some high-priced theological help. And you can foul that up so bad, you won't even recognize it anymore. Yeah. And I kept looking at it, and I kept looking at it, and I kept saying it, and I kept saying it, and I kept looking at it, and kept saying it, kept looking at it, and just thinking about it, and saying it, and saying it, and then listening to Brother Hagin hour after hour after hour after hour, and just thinking about it, and thinking about it. What am I doing? I'm meditating that. Because that's the truth. That's the truth. To say that doesn't work is to call Jesus a liar. Now, you can do that if you want to. I'm not going there. He said it, it works. If it doesn't work, it's my fault, not his, and it's not the Bible's fault. Amen. I just kept looking at it. And all of a sudden, Doc, it was like Jesus standing there. I didn't see him anything, but it was so real. Because I'd just been sitting there muttering it and talking it and looking at it and saying it over and over and over and over and looking at it and looking at it and looking at it and reading it and reading it and reading it and reading. Keep it before your eyes. Keep it in the midst of your heart. The life to you. Mm-hmm. And health to all your flesh. And it was just like Jesus said, Kenneth, what do you desire? I said, well, Lord, glory to God. And I told him, the right up top, the two things right up top in my life, particularly in my physical body, that I need more than I need anything. And I just told him what it was. He said, okay. He didn't say anymore. He just said, okay. Okay. I said, really, Lord? He said, yeah, okay. Believe you receive it. And it's yours. Revolutionized my whole life. And I'm just a young 81 years old. I'm almost 82. I'll be 82 the first week of December. Amen. Looking forward to it. Glory. Amen. Always wanted to be 82. Well, not really, but I might as well be always, because I'm going to be with it. Whether I like it or not. Amen. I'm liking it. Glory to God. See how real that got to me? And that's what I'm talking to you about. It, when you meditate on it, meditate on it, meditate on it. You look at these scriptures and you look at them and look at them and look at them and look at them. Amen. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 1. Now, while you're turning there, I will remind you of 1 Corinthians 13:13. Now abides faith, hope, and love. These three. And the greatest of these is love. Well, of course, God is love.
Oh, yes. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, I don't have time to really get in and develop this. Well, I just want, but I will touch on it right now so that you see it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith is the force. But now hope is also a spiritual force. Let's read Hebrews 11:1. Now, when? Now faith is. Faith is always now. Faith is now. Faith is now. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Things not yet revealed to the physical senses. That's the way the Classic Amplified translates it. Faith, hope, and love. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and love brings it to pass. God brings it to pass. Amen. Now, I want you to, I'll tell you what. Turn left there. And just go to Titus. Let's look in the third chapter of the book of Titus. Or no, excuse me. Second chapter, 13th verse. Looking for that blessed or blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Philippians chapter 1. And let's look in the 19th and 20th verses. I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ according to my earnest expectation and my hope. Now, hope is future tense. But hope is vitally necessary. Vitally necessary. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. Things earnestly expected. Now, most people use hope in a way that's not Bible hope at all. Well, are you going to receive your healing tonight? Well, I certainly hope so, Brother Copeland. Well, I don't have the heart to tell them, but you're not going to. There ain't an ounce of faith in that. That's not hope, that's wishing. I sure wish I would. I sure hope I will.
There's
no substance to that. And there's no way to put any faith in that. So I'm convinced, and I believe you'll agree with me in a moment, that one of the reasons we're losing a lot of battles, particularly to disease, that we should be, I mean, a cancer don't mean no more than a sore toe to God. Yes, and we have authority over it. Yes, glory sir. To God. Amen. But we're losing too many battles. I thought that faith was the issue. And I have come to see where it's not just a faith issue, it is a hope issue. When I go to Isaiah 53, surely Jesus bore my sickness and carried my pains. We did esteem him stricken of God and afflicted, but he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. Chastisement of my peace was upon him. And thank God by his stripes, I'm healed. And then Matthew 8:17 said it was fulfilled that which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he took our infirmities and he bare my sicknesses. And then 1 Peter 2:24, himself bore my sins in his own body on the tree, that I, being dead to sin, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes I was healed. Now you notice there's no place, you can't find it in the Bible where God ever said, I'm going to heal you. He said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. He bore it. He carried it. He's already done it. Those are not promises. Those are Bible facts. Well, of course they build faith. But if you will begin to meditate those scriptures, four very distinct things that you can do, I can do, any person can do, any born again child of God can do it. Four very distinct things that you can do. Meditate in the Word. Be a doer of the Word. Put the Word of God first place. Medicine is fine. Medical science is wonderful. But don't think of them first. Go see what God says first. Spend some time meditating on purpose, saying, what if I find in here, I'm going to do it. Put the Word first place. And then as you do that, learn to obey, build up, and practice listening to your own born again spirit. That small, still voice in there. It's talking to you all the time if you'd listen. And listen. Listen to what God's saying to you. That's the way you develop the born again human spirit. That's the way you educate your spirit. Amen. But meditation is so vital, so important. Now here's what I'm saying. Notice the Apostle Paul said, let's look at it again, Philippians chapter 1. He said, I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. But it's according to something. It's according to something. It's according to my earnest expectation and my hope. I looked up those words. Earnest expectation in the Greek is translated anxious, persistent expectation. If you're in a situation financially where you just, It just seems like whichever way you turn, it just the devil just tearing up your whole financial life. Well, are you tither? Right. If you're not tithing, you're in trouble.
No, you're right.
Amen.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Because you have tithers' rights. And you get in there and start reading those scriptures, and you start reading that God rebuke the devourer for your sake, and open the windows of heaven and pour you out blessing. There ain't room enough for you. One translation says more than you can see any way to use. That's a blood covenant. Do you realize that? That's backed in blood, my brother and sister. We're covenant people. That means we're in covenant with God. He owns everything we have, and we own everything He has. Glory to God. But you don't get excited about it until you spend time meditating on it, thinking about it, just thinking about it. Turn to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. Now Joshua, whoa, he's about to go back across the Jordan. He's about to go back into that land. And the last time he was there, there were some really big people there. And the walled cities and all of that. Now, can you imagine what the devil's trying to put in his mind? He hadn't been in 40 years. He don't know whether they've gotten bigger, smaller, or what. So listen to what God said to him. First chapter. Verse 6, be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shall you divide for an inheritance the land, which I swore unto their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Now he said it twice. That means you better do it. That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. That you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law or the word of God shall not depart out of your mouth. Don't say anything else. Don't be talking giants. Don't be talking walled cities. You keep me on your mind. I'm the big giant here. Not them little bitty people over there. On the other side of the river. I'm the giant here. You keep your mind on me.
Come on. Yeah.
Thou shalt meditate, mutter, therein day and night. Don't get your mind on anything else. Keep it right here. Unless you just don't need anything. That'll be that day. That thou mayest observe, you may see into or have revelation how to do all that's written in it. It'll come to you while you're meditating it. You don't just get it just by reading it a couple of times. Just read Mark 11, 23 and 24 and 25, and you know, I got it. No, you don't. Live with it. Live with it. Look up all the verses you can find that have to do with the situation that you're taking before. If it's healing, then look up all the healing scriptures. To see all those tabs in my Bible, all of those are healing scriptures. Amen. You can just sit down there and just get the joy of the Lord, brother. I'm telling you. Going through those over and over and over again. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. My cross reference says you will do wisely. The Amplified says, you will deal wisely in all the affairs of life. Meditating that word. Well, what does this mean to me now that I'm healed? Now that I see that I'm healed? Now that I see Jesus did this, you know, over 2,000 years ago, in His mind, I'm healing well. In His mind, dear Lord, I'm all of my needs are met according to His riches and glory.
Amen.
In His mind.
Yeah.
Now I need to get that over to my mind. And so I start meditating. I start looking at it. And I start thinking about it. Well, how does this change things? What's going to happen here? Proverbs 4:20, my son, attend to my words. That means put them first. Tend to it. I know y'all down here in Alabama say the same thing we do in Texas. We don't attend to anything. We tend to it. That started out tending the chickens. You know, you gotta come going, no, I got to tend to this. Well, I sure would like to visit with you while... Doc, I can't do it. I'm late for an appointment right now. So, but we'll talk later. I got to go attend to that. What? Attend to my word. Put that on top of the list.
Amen.
Incline thine ear unto my sayings.
Yes, Lord.
Be quick to believe what the word says.
Amen.
Not what somebody else said about it.
That's right. No, you're right.
Amen.
Woo.
At the sign of the first symptoms. Get to the place where you think Bible before you think doctor.
Yes.
Doctors are wonderful.
Yes.
If it hadn't been for them, most of the Christians would have died. I'm here. Doctors are wonderful. Particularly a strong Christian believer that can pray with you, you know. Amen.
Amen.
But the great physician.
Yes.
The great physician ought to be on your mind first. First. Amen. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Now here he told Joshua, don't let it depart from your mouth. But here he says, you keep those words in your eyes. What happens? You're meditating on it. You keep looking at it. You keep looking at that word. You keep looking at that word. And all of a sudden, you begin to see yourself with it. I begin to see myself well. Oh, I begin to, this didn't come overnight. Particularly if it's something that's been there a long time. And particularly in the realm of finances. Because other people get involved in finances. And their unbelief of getting involved too, because you can't buy by yourself, you can't sell by yourself, you can't give by yourself, you can't receive by yourself. Somebody else is involved. So forgive them and just keep believing God. Now how does this affect me now that I'm rich? Now that I'm well taken care of, what's my priorities now? What am I doing? I'm meditating. I'm thinking about it. And just see yourself. Just keep seeing yourself. See yourself just having more fun tithing than you have at doing anything else. Amen. And your tithe check just keeps getting bigger and just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Hallelujah. Amen. Have fun.
Come on.
Just have a big old high heel time. Just meditating on it.
Amen.
Gloria, and we lived in a little old shotgun house in Tulsa, and we read an article of a little small book by Brother Roberts, Don't Let Anybody Steal Your Dreams.
Right.
And he said, write them down. Write your dream down. Find scripture. We found the little note that Gloria wrote and stuck it in her Bible. We found it not too long ago. Right up at the top of the list, she said, the perfect home for this family and for this ministry. And she went to the book of Isaiah, chapter 54. Strengthen your stakes, lengthen your cords, and build. Amen. And she wrote that down. So she started keeping house pictures or magazines. But she finally got so many magazines. I said, sweetheart, could we just cut the pictures out of these things? Because these things are heavy, you understand? And you're hauling that many of them around. So she started cataloging the pictures. Well, she starts, and we'd come home off of the road, boy, out would come the pictures. She finally got her some graph paper. And she's drawing rooms and designing and working on this thing. 30 years she did that. 30 years. She built and designed and built. Now, all the time, we're living good. Boy, God just kept providing us a better house and a better house. And then we'd been there on the lake at Eagle Mountain for over 20 years. Wow. Well, right at 20 years. She came to me one day. She said, "I don't know what I'm going to do with this thing. It's getting big." I said, "Well, Gloria, what do you care?" She said, "I can't figure out a way to, you know, cut it back." I said, "What do you care? It's a dream. Dream on, girl." Yeah. She said, "Really?" I said, "Yeah, just dream on." So she did. One day she came in, she said, "Kenneth, something's happening to me." She said, "I'm either going to have to build this thing or quit." She said, I don't know what's taking place with me. And I want to know whether it's God's perfect will for us to build this or not." And she said, "If it isn't, I'm going to quit fooling with it." And she said, "I have no regrets." She said, "I have really enjoyed this. And besides this, we got a nice home." I said, "Great idea." And I said, "We just do what we always do. We'll just take off 3 days and don't pray about anything but that. And get the wisdom of God according to James chapter 1, 1 Corinthians 1:30. He's made unto us wisdom." Yep. We've never done that for 3 days and didn't get an answer.
Wow.
So, been doing most of your praying, of course, in the Spirit. And so we took off and we took it, and she said that to the Lord. She said, "Lord, if it's not your will to build this thing, I have no regrets. You say the word, and I'll just lay all this down." The third day, we're sitting on the couch, and we just had some of the most wonderful times of prayer and praise and worship. And the word of the Lord came to me. Now, I had forgotten that little list. It's been 30 years. Are you kidding me? And it's just a little piece of paper about this big. I'm sitting on the couch. He said, "You minister this house to Gloria. It's part of your prosperity." And he said, "You stay out of it." Now, listen to what he said. "The dream has begun to take upon itself faith. It's about to be born." This is the reason people make mistakes. You don't dream long enough. You don't meditate long enough. You don't build that white, hot, expectant hope. And you get to that place where you've read those scriptures and you've meditated them until the hope gets so big in me and that you begin to say, "I'm telling you, bless God, this is coming to pass. I'm telling you, this is mine and it's coming to pass. This thing belongs to me." Yes. Expectant, anxious, persistent, this is coming to pass. I know it. I know that I know that I know what I know that I know that I know I know I know I know that this is coming to pass. But it's still in the hope. Yeah, but it's coming to pass now. I just put faith in it. Can you see it? But it's not just faith. You need that expectant hope. You need it to the place where nobody could beat it out of you with a bat, man. Because you know it belongs to you. This thing has gotten so big in me, I'm expecting it any second now. And so I read the scriptures that the Lord said to me, and Gloria just began to weep. She said, "Those are the verses I put on my list back there 30 years ago. Hallelujah. Amen." And the Lord said, "You stay out of it." He said, "I said a virtuous woman builds her nest, not a man. You stay out." He said, "Anything you put in there would come out of your head. And this is born out of her spirit." Now, it took 2 years to get all of the architectural work done and all of that. And of course, we built it there on ministry property. Here's the big part. We never said anything to anybody about it. People, partners, would say, Sister Gloria, I've added $50 this month. I don't know what you're doing, but something has to do with your house. We're just added $50 to it. Wow. Or we added $100 to it. Or I put $10 in there for something to do with your house. Okay. Took 2 years to get all the architectural stuff together and all of that. And the day we poured the foundation, money was in the bank to pay for the house. But now faith had a blueprint. Hope. Divine hope is faith's blueprint. That's real Bible hope. Where you get to the place where you know exactly what it is. And you know exactly that it's yours. And you are so expectant, glory to God, you get to where just like you were when you was a little kid. My grandparents on my dad's side lived out in California, and I never did get to see them. We lived in Abilene, Texas, out in West Texas. But my other grandparents lived 300 miles away. And it was very rare that they would come see us because they were farm and raised livestock and so forth, and they couldn't be gone from home. But every once in a while, they would come see us. Me, Mom, and Papa was coming. Oh, every car, I'd run to the front house. I'd just walk around outside on the porch. Me, Mom, and Papa coming. They're going to be here any minute now. They're going to be here any minute now. Or when we were going up there, we'd drive up there. And I'm looking around every corner. And finally I can say, I see Papa's house! I see Papa's house! Ah! Anxious, persistent expectation.
Right. Come on.
And you can get so anxiously expectant in your spirit. Yeah. Glory to God, this thing is mine! It is mine. You get to where you see yourself with. You get to where you see yourself up out of that bed. You get to where you see all your bills paid, glory to God, and you just see yourself going around paying debts. That happened to Glory and me. I was $24,000 in bad debt. Of course, I didn't tell her anything about it till after. You think you think something wrong with me? I'm not going to tell her that. She's the finest thing I ever saw in my life. I asked her to marry me on the first date. I didn't have time to tell her about that debt. Come on, wasn't about to. This was Kenneth B.C. She had class. You know, I didn't have no couth at all, but she had class. So, but after we got born again, now $24,000 in 1962 is a quarter of a million now. Same difference, if you just look it up. So, we began to believe God. I went before the Lord and I said, Lord, I have to, this has to be taken care of. And prayed, and of course, just immediately we began to tithe. I mean, if the last dollar I had, it's going to go to God, not me.
Right.
Amen. I'm not about to eat my seed. Thank you, Lord. And compounding that over the last almost 52 years now, it'll be 52 years in January. My, we've been blessed. We've lived now for over 50 years, debt-free. Debt-free. Everything that God has told us to do, we did it without borrowing. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
I don't really know. We were out of debt in 11 months. And it was just supernatural. And some of the things got paid, just seemed like they just kind of vanished. Yeah, it was so supernatural. But we had gotten into the Word. We were listening to Brother Hagin night and day, and I was flying for Brother Roberts, and I'm in all these meetings, and I'm seeing all this stuff. I want you to know, I got so excited, I found out that I was a seed of Abraham. Oh, glory to God. That Jesus had redeemed me from the curse. And if you be Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And I thought, well, maybe I better check out Abraham. And I thought, whoa, this man's rich in cattle, silver, gold, land. And I'm the seed of Abraham, David, my Lord, my God. I'm still up to here in debt. I called Gloria in there. I said, sit down there, Gloria. She sat down and I got right up in her face. Now listen, my hope's talking. My anxious expectation is talking. It's coming out my mouth and I can't be quiet about it. I'm hollering at her. I read those scriptures. I had her sit down. I got right in her face. I said, Gloria, we're rich now. This ain't nothing but a matter of time. Do you understand that? This is just a matter of time. Glory be to God. 11 months later, we was out of debt. But my hope got so high. Now, what does the world say? Well, don't get your hopes up. Oh. Shut up! Jack my hope up as high as I can get it. Shoot for the moon and only get a star. That's all right. Amen. Believe for a million and only get a couple of hundred thousand. Well, okay, that'll be all right. And just keep walking by faith. But you have to have the hope for faith to have something to do.
Amen.
We've been working really hard on the faith end. And that's good. But now get over there.
Come on.
Get in those verses and start meditating them and start living with them. Start talking to yourself over it. Glory to God. Glory to God. This ain't nothing but a matter of time. This is mine.
Glory.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
What is the matter of time? Now!
Yes.
You're believing for a financial miracle? Before you get out of the bed in the morning, say, today's the day.
Yes.
Now's the time. My miracle is here today. Glory to God. Glory to God. My miracle is here today. Glory to God. And you go to bed at night. My miracle is coming while I'm asleep. Hey, it's mine. It's here. Glory. I tell you, it's now. My daddy used to say, Kenneth, you get it done now. K-N-O-W-E now, boy.
Yeah.
Now, when my daddy started spelling now, K-N-O-W-E, that means you better get your little hind end in gear because it's about to get whooped. Amen. Hallelujah. Right now, Satan, K-N-O-W-E, get yourself out of my finances. Take your hand off my body. I have rights. I've been made the righteousness of God. I'm a covenant man. I'm in covenant with Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Son of the living God. He put on my ragged old nasty robe of sin and clothed me in the robe of righteousness. I have rights. I have a right to be well and healed. I'm a tither and I have rights as a tither. Tithing rights. Very, very close friend of mine, Mark Barkley. He was at his son-in-law's home. They have a nice pool out back. There's family together. And they missed his little granddaughter. And he couldn't find her. Look, she was at the bottom of the pool. And her hair got caught in the exit drain, sucked her hair up in there, and she couldn't get loose. And they didn't know how long she'd been in there. So man, her dad just dived in there and he dove in and, you know, got her loose and brought her up. And she had drowned. Well, of course, they called paramedics and they came. And the paramedic was just about, he turned to look at her mother and shake his head. When her dad, Brother Barclay's son-in-law, screamed at the top of his voice, "I demand my rights as a tither. I claim my tithing rights. Destroyer, you've been rebuked for my sake. You take your hand off of my daughter. In the name of Jesus, I command you to live and not die." And she did. She came around, spitting and blowing. Perfectly all right. Been under the water way too long. Perfectly fine. And the guy said, "Look, we've already called this in. You're going to have to go in with me. Is she okay?" And so the daddy got in the ambulance and they went to the hospital and they pulled up in there. And there was the ER doctor and all of them out there ready. And they opened the back of the ambulance. And he said, where's the one that drowned?" She said, "It's me." He said, "What?" She said, "It was me, but Jesus raised me from the dead." They took her on in and examined her just absolutely perfectly all right and sent them home. He demanded his rights as a born-again man of God. He demanded his rights as a tither. He demanded his rights by the name of Jesus. We've not only been given that name, we've been named that name. We are named after him. The Apostle Paul's in the 3rd chapter of Ephesians said, "I bow my knee before the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom," the Father, "the whole family, both in heaven and earth, is named." Amen. You've been named after him. Yeah. That's covenant talk. Yeah. That's covenant talk. Gloria Copeland is in covenant with me. It is a divine covenant of marriage. And she took my name. It's hers. She never stops and thinks whether or not she should use it. It's hers. She doesn't have to ask me if she can write a check. Everything in there belongs to her. And besides that, I'd just as soon she would. I can't get her to spend enough. She's a treasure of my life. My Lord. I get so excited when she does come up wanting something. She just says, "I'd like to have that." Well, it'll be there tomorrow. Amen. Glory to God. Husbands, that's the way God is. That'll save you a lot of trouble, mister. Oh, yeah. Let me tell you something, men. Take the blame. I don't care what it is. Just take the blame.
Amen. Preach it, brother.
You're big. You can take it. Just take the blame. Say, "Baby, I'm sorry. It's my fault."
Come on.
And most times she'll say, "Mm-hmm." Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's right.
But sometimes she said, "No, it's my fault." You said, "No, it's my fault." Now, don't get in an argument over whose fault it is. Amen.
Amen.
Walking in love. Walking in the Word. Walking in hope. White hot expectancy. I am expecting a Canaan land in every state of the United States and all American territories. I'm expecting it, man. I mean it. I'm expecting people to walk in here with the money. I'm expecting it to come from every place, from the north, south, east, and west. Amen.
Amen.
Ministering angels, go! Bring it in here. Prosperity angels, bring it in here.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We've been missing it in the realm of hope. Get your hopes up. Get your hope. "Well, I just don't want you to get your hopes up. You might not get it. Hey, I'm fully grown. I've missed it before. Don't be messing with my hope. I'm a big hoper. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I like billion. Don't you like that? Just sound, just rolls off of my tongue. Billion. Hallelujah. The billion flow. Ministries are way behind. This natural world's been in the billion flow. They've gotten into the trillion flow, and we hadn't got into the billion yet.
All right.
But we're getting there. Amen. But you have to meditate it until you get to the point till you see yourself with it already. Already. And then it's no surprise when it comes. And you've already decided to tithe it. You've already been to the Lord and found out all these wonderful things that He wants you to do with it when it comes. John Rockefeller said, if I hadn't tithed on my first million, I sure wouldn't have tithed on the next 100. His mother taught him to tithe when they were so poor. They didn't have enough to eat. She was a tither. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Expecting it. Then you come to the place when you're expectant. You've already been there. You've already seen it in the Spirit. You've already made your decisions. I know Jerry Savelle as close as I've ever known any man in my life. He and I have been preaching together for 50 years. We know one another. There are other men that I know. I know Jesse Duplantis. I know Creflo Dollar. I've preached with these men. I know Bill Winston. We're very close together. Any one of these men, you could hand Bill Winston $1 billion, wouldn't affect him a bit. It'd thrill him, but it wouldn't change him. Because he already knows what he's going to do with it.
Amen.
He's already seen it. He's already believing God for it. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to go to the book of Philippians. And we will go to the 4th chapter. My hope is strong. I've injected it with faith. And it's mine now. But now what do? I begin to praise. But listen to this. Be careful for nothing, or be anxious or fretful about anything. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now listen, and the peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. That'll keep your mind on those scriptures you've been talking about and keep it from running away and getting off out on something else. Letting the devil lead you down some stupid road you know you don't need to be thinking about. This is what it takes to meditate day and night. Amen. Particularly those here tonight that are students and part of Canaan land. Don't you let the devil get a hold of you in the nighttime. Don't you go to bed afraid you're going to go back like you were. Don't you dare do that. I don't care. You get up and you get your scriptures and you start going through them again. Glory to God. He sent His word and healed me and delivered me of my destruction. Glory to God. He's delivered me. I'm delivered of that in the name of Jesus. I'm not a drug addict anymore. No. I'm not alcoholic anymore. I refuse to let my mind go in those directions. I meditate on Him day and night. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. But now here's the key. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue or moral excellence, if there be any praise, think on these things. Don't you let yourself start thinking sick again. No, no, no. What happened? What happens? Your hope will get weak. Hope deferred makes the spirit sick. And you kind of get that kind of flush over you where you think, what am I going to do? This ain't never going to come to pass. No, you go back to those same scriptures that got you white hot hope before, and you get your hope back. You get in there and you meditate and you mutter and you talk to yourself. And you tell you, just get yourself there and say, come on, Kenneth, just get out here on your knees and shut that unbelief up and get back in these scriptures. Glory to God. Your miracle is here now. Glory to God. I mean, you got money coming from everywhere trying to find you if you'll just get in faith and get your hope back up there. Get excited about it. It's the scripture you get excited about. That's what works for you. That's what works for you. That's what works for you. Get excited about being healed. Get excited about being strong. Get excited about getting up again, glory to God, and excited in the morning, ready to go win somebody to Jesus somewhere today, glory to God, hallelujah. I'm not going back to that world where I came from. I'm not going back there. No, I'm not. Amen. Hallelujah. If you have to just take off running through the woods, just shouting Jesus just as loud as you can. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, I'll tell you, talking about Bill Winston, it's, I don't know where it's too wise or not to watch Bill Winston right where you go to bed. I tell you, Gloria and I turned him on one night. We'd just gone to bed. And I wound up jumping up and down in the bed and jumped off the bed and ran around the room. And Gloria laying there laughing at me. I'll tell you a good one, though. One night, instead of just listening on my phone, there was a service that we wanted to watch. So I had the iPad sitting up in the bed between Gloria and me, and we were watching Brother Hagin. And we watched this whole service. And so he began to give the invitation. Well, since Gloria and I was both saved, I figured we'd go ahead and, you know, turn it off. And so I leaned over to kiss her goodnight, and she said, not in front of Brother Hagin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Continue. Letting your wants be made known unto God. But now listen. And those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do them. Do it. Do it. It won't work if you don't do it. If you do, it'll work for anybody. The sun will shine on anybody that'll get out in it. Faith will work for anybody that'll get in the Word. Hope will come to anybody that'll believe that it's come for you and it belongs to you and it's yours right now. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah.
The preceding message is copyright 2019 by Eagle Mountain International Church Incorporated and Kenneth Copeland Ministries and is not to be duplicated for any commercial usage. Non-commercial distribution to a reasonable number of friends for the purpose of spreading the gospel is allowed, with the restriction that this oral notice must stay part of the message. Additional information from Kenneth Copeland Ministries, including additional media products, may be obtained by visiting our website at kcm.org.